the country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
I'm joined on the show today by country artist Jake Matthews. His new song at radio is called Road and the Radio, which will be part of his upcoming album to be released this spring. There's lots to talk about and music to play as well on the show. My pleasure now to welcome Jake Matthews. Hey, Jake.
How you doing, Dave?
I am doing awesome. It is so great to have you on the show to talk about Road and the Radio and to catch up on some other stuff, too.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I guess it's been a few years since we've chatted, so it's good to be back.
It has. It has, so it's great to have you back, and a big shout-out to Natalie Harper, a great PR person, for setting this one up.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Natalie.
Now, we've got lots to talk about. I've got two songs of yours to play on the show, the newest one and, of course, a fan favorite from not too long ago called Beer Necessities, which is such a clever title. I love that. But let's start off with your recent trip to Australia, because I know you were down there for a couple of weeks, and the cool thing is you were there to promote the Calgary Stampede.
Yeah, I've been, it's been a really cool thing that's happened. I've had a relationship with the Canadian Tourism Commission and the Calgary Stampede over the last 6 or 7 years, and, been very fortunate. They've invited me to travel with them to some of the trade shows and travel shows that they do around the world, so I've had the opportunity to go to Korea and Japan and Berlin and London and just recently to Australia. Yeah, it's been great.
Now, what is the country music scene like, as far as you can tell, when you've been there in Australia? Of course, we know about Keith Urban. What else is going on in Australia as far as their country music scene?
It's really thriving over there. I mean, they've got a lot of great country artists, and the thing with Australia, I mean, it's similar to Canada in a way. I mean, everything is really kind of spread out. So they've got some great festivals to play, and like I said, some great artists that that are over there, and there seems to be a really good country community between Canada and Australia. There's a lot of Canadians that are going over there these days as well. So it's a great, you can tell from the shows that I've done there that people really love, their country music there, and a little bit more on the traditional side too, which is cool to see. So yeah, it's been really cool. Yeah.
And what a great opportunity for you to get to travel to those great places, play some country music, promote it, and hopefully people in those places you've been to will then want to head to the Calgary Stampede and check it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the point of those trips, with the Canadian Tourism and Calgary Stampede. It's the shows I've been doing are for are basically travel and tourism shows where, they'll invite, the travel writers and pretty much everybody that's involved in the travel industry, and they'll come out to these huge events and the Calgary Stampede will talk about, the Calgary Stampede. And I've been invited to, come up and share my experiences of living in Alberta for nearly 20 years now. And also my experience with the Calgary Stampede, and bring some music along too. So it's a pretty cool thing. And people really appreciate it. And they seem to really love the, that presentation. So it's great to be a part of.
As you said, you've been in Alberta for almost 20 years now, originally from Sudbury, Ontario. And Natalie passed on some information to me that one of the things you miss about Ontario has to do with water and fishing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the one thing that's pretty different, I guess, in Alberta. I mean, it's so wide open, and, growing up in especially northern Ontario around Sudbury, there was, a lake was just like a hop, jump, and a skip away, and, we could pretty much go to any lake at any time whenever you wanted to, and fishing was fun and great, and, out here in Alberta, it's just, totally different. I mean, I've done some fishing in the Bow River, but it's not quite the same as, being out on a big open lake, surrounded by rocks and trees, and,
right.
Yeah, but that's probably the one thing that I miss the most, other than my family that's still there, but...
yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, I want to talk to you as well about The Troubadours, which is made up of you, Dwayne Steele, who will be on the show tomorrow night, and Wyatt Easterling. The three of you have been doing this for a few years, The Troubadours. It's an acoustic songwriters kind of night. Tell me about The Troubadours and what kind of show that is.
Yeah, it's well, that's exactly what it is. It's just kind of a singer-songwriter type of show where, you know, Wyatt and Dwayne and I will all come out on stage and, you know, sit there with our guitars. And it's kind of like an in-the-round kind of vibe. You know, we'll tell the stories behind the songs and why we wrote them, how we wrote them. And, you know, it just gives a – it's kind of a really intimate setting and gives the audience a chance to kind of get a, you know, peek behind the scenes. And it's a lot more interactive too. I mean, people, you know, kind of shout things out as far as, you know, just kind of some comments on the songs and, you know, just kind of that. It's a lot of back and forth with the audience, which is a lot of fun. And like you said, we've been doing it for a few years. The first time we did it, we also had Lisa Brokop and Paul Jefferson on the on the show as well. So that was, you know, they're, everyone involved has got some great stories. So it's a lot of fun to be a part of.
Yeah. I know as an audience member for those kind of things, and so many people I know, they love going to those kind of nights to hear the stories behind the songs and hear the songwriter do it. It might, in fact, not be a song you recorded, but one that somebody else cut. Now we're hearing the songwriter do it and a little bit of the story behind how that song came to be, which is always interesting to hear.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if, you know, any of the listeners have been to the Bluebird in Nashville, it's a very similar, you know, type of setting. You know, it's just a chance to get really up close and personal. And you know, when you're doing the, you know, the big shows with the full band, and, you know, you just don't get to experience that side of the song. And that's, you know, that's a really cool thing to be able to do as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I've got some information here that you've had over 50 of your songs recorded by artists in Canada and the U.S., which is an astounding number. Now, most recently, those cuts include a couple of songs on Gord Bamford's current album, Country Junkie, and one of the songs is Groovin' With You, and then you've got a song also on Autumn Hill's current album as well. It must be a great compliment and a great honor for you as a songwriter, Jake, to have, you know, big artists like that cut your songs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's, to be honest, it's just as exciting to, you know, to hear someone else singing your song on the radio. And it is a huge honor because, you know, the artists that you mentioned write songs themselves. So to be able to have a song that, you know, they believe in enough to include on their album and, you know, want to sing every night, it's a real, you know, testament to, you know, to how much they enjoy the song. And that's really what you want to do as a songwriter, is just write something that, you know, people are going to want to connect with. So yeah, it's a great thrill when you hear that, you know, especially when you hear it on the radio. It just, you know, just brings it to another level too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a dream pitch, some artist out there, Jake, that you think you've got a song that's just right for? You're just waiting for either the stars to align or, you know, finding the right person to get the song to, that you're going, wow, I'd love to hear so-and-so cut this.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The top of the list would be George Strait. That'd definitely be, nice. You know, my ultimate goal. And, you know, I've had songs put on hold by George Strait as well. So that's, you know, just the fact that I know that he's listened, and I know that his producer, Tony Brown, has listened and commented on some of the songs that we've pitched is, you know, just knowing that I've gotten at least that close is really exciting. But if that day comes, it'll definitely be you know, one of the highlights of my career for sure.
That's awesome. But what a compliment. Yeah. What how much that says about a song if it's gotten that close to George Strait and you've had good feedback on it, obviously a good song or two there.
Yeah, and you know, it's right, there's just so many variables that come into play when, you know, there's just so many songs out there, and sometimes a song doesn't fit a particular project that the artist is working on, or maybe they have something that has a similar theme. So, you know, like I said, it's sometimes it could be like winning the lottery, getting a song cut. But just knowing that, you know, he enjoyed it and the positive feedback we had on it was definitely a thrill as well.
Now, a bit later in the show, I'm going to have you tell us the story going back to age 14 at Canada's Wonderland, when a lot of us have done this, recorded a song in one of the booths. And I love this story. We'll save that for a bit. We'll keep people holding on. Let's turn to the song from not too long ago, Jake, called Beer Necessities. Tell me about the song. I mean, it's got that great title. It's a fun, kind of laid-back, grooving song. What can you tell us about the song and the writing behind it?
Sure. Well, that one kind of was an interesting way it came about. I walked into a writing session with fellow Canadian Dave Thompson and a Nashville songwriter, a friend of mine named Jeffrey East. And I walked into the session, and I actually had that, you know, that groove and that chord progression and melody kind of in my mind, but I also had totally different lyric attached to it. I had a completely different idea for the song. And when we sat down to write, I was just kind of, you know, going through that that chord progression, and Dave just kind of said, "Hey, I've got this title that I really want to write." And he said, "Beer Necessities," and we just kind of all looked at each other and said, "We have to write that song, you know, because if we don't,
right?
Because none of us had heard that as a title of a song before, so we thought if we don't write it, somebody else will. So let's beat them to the punch, basically."
Mm-hmm.
So and you know, it just turned out that it really fit that whole laid back groove. So it just, you know, sometimes, you know, that happens. You know, sometimes when you're writing, you're really trying to find the right groove for a song, or the melody doesn't really fit the lyric, and you're kind of struggling with it. And that was one of those cases where, you know, the laid-back groove and the right title and the right idea behind the title just kind of all gelled. And, you know, we wrote the song in like 3 or 4 hours, and it was
oh,
one
wow.
of those effortless songs that just kind of happened, you know. And sometimes those are the best when they're easy, you know. Sometimes you don't want to mess
yeah.
with them, and it just worked out really,
right.
really well. And, you know, I was very happy with the way, well, we all were really happy with the way it just kind of came out with, like you said, just kind of that laid-back vibe.
It's such a cool song, and this must be a fun one to do in concert, because I'm sure when the chorus comes around, you've got the crowd singing along with you.
Absolutely. You know, it was one of those songs where you just, you know, people are always commenting on it and, you know, sending you tweets and Facebook messages mm-hmm. and emails and, you know, saying how much they love it. And like I said, I wish it was that easy every time, you know, to write a song
right.
that connects with people like that. But yeah, it was just one of those ones where people just really seem to enjoy it and, you know, have a lot of fun with it. And definitely live, it goes over really, really well.
Let's share it now. This is Jake Matthews, and of course you can head to his website, jakematthews.com, to learn more about him there. Here's Beer Necessities on In the Country.
I'm going off the grid, unplugging for a bit. With a little luck, I'll get a little lost. Just a bit, life don't get much
Country artist Jake Matthews, originally from Sudbury, Ontario, now calling Alberta, Calgary, Alberta, home for the last almost 20 years now. Great song called Beer Necessities. That'll be part of his upcoming album. And, Jake, I understand the album will be titled In Our Own Backyard.
Yeah, that's correct. It'll be In Our Own Backyard. And, you know, it's also going to have one of the previous singles I had on there, A Woman and a Song, as well, is going to be included on this album.
Great.
Yeah.
Terrific. And that title track to the album, which is a great fan favorite and a great song, was co-written by you and Brad Stella.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad is a great writer. And, you know, of course, a lot of Canadians know the Stellas. They're super, super talented family and, you know, great people as well. So, yeah, Brad and I just, we had started that song, you know, a little while back and through the miracle of technology, we were able to hook up through Skype and kind of finish things off with that song. But, you know, we just really wanted to write something, you know, really, really fun. And that was kind of the idea behind the song, you know, just to write something really fun. And again, the response to that song has been great.
It's got to be great when you put out the singles and get, of course, the great response. With some of these songs, I guess you would debut them in concert before recording them and kind of get a pulse for the song based on the fan reaction?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, that's always good to do, get out there and, you know, try them out live. And I know I was doing a couple of, smaller, like, acoustic shows when I tried Beer Necessities, mm-hmm. and people just loved it. And then, you know, everyone I kind of played it for kind of had the same reaction. So I thought, yeah, I think I better record this song because it's really connecting. So, yeah, it's a great way to, you know, to try a song out because really, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's you know, are people going to connect with it? And when you see that type of reaction, it's usually pretty obvious, the ones that stand out.
Right. That's great. We've got a brand new song coming up called Road and the Radio. So, folks, hold on for that. Let's go back to age 14 for you, Jake. Canada's Wonderland, the kind of booth, I guess, where you can record a song and they play it back. So the song you did was Randy Travis, I Told You So. Love that song. Carrie Underwood later did a version of it.
Yeah,
I love
that's
his
right.
version.
That's great.
Take us back to that, Jake, because I understand you had quite a response after you recorded it around the booth.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, it was one of those class trips. We were, you know, it was a bus full of kids going to Wonderland, and, you know, there was, like you said, I think it was called You Can Be a Star, I think was the booth. And you would go in, pick a song, you know, and they'd have the tracks and just, you know, throw some headphones on and do a vocal on the track. And then once you were done, you would be standing outside and they'd play everybody that recorded would get played out, you know, on the loudspeaker outside. So you'd have to, you know, you'd go in and sing your song, then you'd come out and you'd wait, you know, for your song to come up before you can go pick it up, basically. So, you know, once the song started playing, you know, I was there with some buddies and they're just kind of, you know, like 14-year-old kids too, kind of making fun of you, you know, and, you know, giving you a bit of a hard time. And as we were listening to it, a lady was walking by and she stopped and she looked at me and, you know, because my buddies were pointing me out pretty much. So she said, "Is that you singing?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me." And she said, "Well, I'd buy a record if you ever put one out." And I thought, well, that was kind of cool.
Wow.
And it's just one of those memories,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those moments in time that you kind of, you know, and at that point, of course, you know, just starting out singing and, you know, not really aspiring to anything really at that point. But it was just one of those, you know, cool moments that kind of stick in your memory. And, you know, I think it's probably, you know, helped drive my career as well, just getting that from a total stranger and, you know, total random situation. So
absolutely.
Yeah, cool.
And how long after that experience, Jake, was it that you took music seriously? Maybe you made your first appearance on a stage or some moment that really sealed it for you?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I was 14 then, and that's really when I started, you know, playing guitar and singing. And you know, I was involved with a lot of, like, local talent shows, and I think that's important to do, you know, just to get out there in front of an audience, and, you know, you're scared to death, but it's just great to get that, you know, get that experience, and I think that's it. I mean, I can't think of, of a particular, well, I guess maybe one particular moment would be the Simcoe Singing Contest, which was a pretty the Canadian Open Country Singing Contest. That's what
oh,
it was,
right.
And it was
yeah.
held in Simcoe in Ontario. And if you look through the list of winners, you know, Gil has won it in the past, and I have, and Beverly Mahood and Amanda and Tyler Wilkinson are, you know, also have all gone through that contest. And the year mm-hmm. that I won that contest, I think, was, you know, a pretty good affirmation, I think, that, you know, maybe I was on the right path. So, you know, and Tabe as well. Tabe, I remember Tabe from those contests as well back
That's
then.
That's right.
So. Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of us that kind of gone through that contest.
Yeah, it's amazing how much talent it's produced, and I guess that's further mm-hmm. evidence, as you mentioned there, that talent shows are a great way to get a start, get noticed, and to make things happen.
Yeah, and it's so important, I think, to you know, for when you're just starting out like that, just to get that experience, to get in front of a crowd and get in front of an audience. And you know, I think you need that to really, you know, hone in on that experience and, you know, what it
right.
takes to get through it. And I think it just makes you stronger every time you do it.
Now, you made reference to one of the participants in the talent show, Gil Grand, your brother. So a lot of people know this. Some may not because different last names in the music
yep.
business. But pretty cool that two of you are so talented and from the same family.
Yeah. No, it is really cool. And it's one of those things where, you know, we kind of, you know, when we were growing up and, you know, 16, 18, we were kind of playing. And, Gil is a few years older than I am, so he kind of got into bands and into bars and stuff before I did. But, mm-hmm. you know, once he had a band, and then I, you know, got my own band as well, and we would sit in on each other's bands and play together. And, you know, so it was great. It was, you know, it was a cool thing to do when we were growing up and, you know, just kind of getting into music. And, you know, it's just one of those things, you never know where it's going to lead you. And just the fact that we've, you know, both been able to have, you know, solo careers and success as, you know, songwriters as well. And,
yeah.
it's, you know, it's just a really, really cool thing. Yeah, absolutely. And it's great to be able to share the experience
talk
with someone, too.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more
yeah.
about songwriting and some of your influences, Jake, but we're going to turn back to music now. The brand new one that people are loving, and it's getting played on radio, and of course, our listeners can call their local country stations and ask them to play it as well. It's called Road and the Radio. Tell us about the song, Jake.
Yeah, well, I wrote this one with Dwayne Steele, and you know, Dwayne and I have been writing together, you know, quite a bit over the last few years, and we just kind of got together. I think Dwayne had kind of come in and had like a radio title and just wanted to write one of those, you know, songs about, you know, kind of looking back and when you were just kind of driving along, and in our conversation and kind of working through the song, the idea of you and me, the road and the radio kind of came up, and we just kind of thought, you know what, maybe that's probably what we should be chasing, you know. That's the idea behind it, is, you know, just being, having that feeling of freedom, you know, sitting beside the person that that you want to be with, and, you know, having nothing else to worry about, and just driving down the road and, you know, having some fun and listening to great music. You know, it's just one of those memories that I think that a lot of us have, you know, from
mm-hmm.
from those days. So yeah, and again, just really, really happy with the way things have turned out with that song, and just the response it's been getting has been really great.
It's a song that we can all relate to. We've all had those memories, being in the car, listening to the radio. I mean, that's how I love to listen to music, driving, you know, on a nice sunny day, coffee, music, an open road. It's we've all been there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's what it was. As soon as we kind of, you know, dialed in on the you and me, the road and the radio, it was just pretty easy to know where to take the song. And again, you know, just a lot of fun to write.
Let's share it now. Brand new music from my guest, Jake Matthews. This is Road and the Radio on In the Country.
We were only 17, and we had everything. My old ragtop Jeep, radio. Getting out, well, baby,
And that's brand new music from my guest, Jake Matthews. It's called Road and the Radio here on In the Country. You can learn more about Jake at jakematthews.com. And that is such a great song. It just kind of puts you in that headspace and the memories of driving with that special someone and listening to the radio.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just the, you know, the groove of it and everything just really kind of came together with the lyric and, you know, kind of like what I was talking about before, you know, it's just... It's having that right marriage of, you know, melody and groove and lyric. And, you know, when it all comes together, it feels really good. Mm.
Now, what about those times, Jake, when it doesn't? You talked about some songs that have come together fairly quickly, naturally, so it's not forced, which is always a good thing. Let's say those times when you're in a session and maybe the both of you ideas aren't generated. Is there something you can pass on to all of us songwriters out there, a way to get that the inspiration flowing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of tricky. I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes I think if you're trying too hard, if you're pushing too hard, if you're, you know, trying to make something work, sometimes it just kind of makes it worse. I think the best thing to do in that case, from my experience anyway, I mean, it's to try to work through it as best you can. But if it's not working, sometimes it's good just to kind of step away. And if you really like the idea, but you just haven't found the right way to approach it, or maybe you're kind of going down the wrong road with it, then what I like to do is just kind of step away from it for, you know, for a few days or whatever, a week, and then come back to it. And it's amazing how, you know, just having some fresh eyes on it and, you know, just having it out of your mind for a little while and just coming back. Sometimes, you know, you look at it and you think, well, boy, what was I thinking? You know, and you have the right way of to write the song or the right approach to the song. I mean, that's happened so many times for me where, you know, you just kind of walk away from it and come back, and it's like a light bulb, you know, goes off. And it's like, oh, that's what I should be saying. And, you know, that would be my advice. Otherwise, you're just going to be, you know, banging your head against the desk and trying to get blood from a stone, basically. So it's not, sometimes you just let it go.
Let it go. That makes total sense because, you start to force it, and it doesn't get any better. So you take that break away for a bit of time. What about feedback? So, of course, there's a lot of people out there who are willing to give feedback. Now, there's professionals who will give professional feedback in the songwriting area. But how many people, Jake, do you play a song for? How many opinions do you want on a song? Maybe if you're looking to make changes on it, when do you know that it's actually done?
You know, that's really interesting. I guess I really, you know, I don't seek out a lot of opinions, to be honest. I think the best gauge of that is the audience, you know, if they like it. Because like you said, I mean, a lot of people, you know, will have opinions on the song. And, you know, I think if you have a group of trusted, you know, friends and writers that you, you know, value their opinion, it's probably good to, you know, play it for them. But I probably wouldn't be playing it for, you know, too many people, because that can sometimes kind of confuse
right.
things. But I think the biggest, you know, the best way to know if a song is working is, you know, to, it's just, I find it, well, and I guess I have access to an audience that I can play it for, so I get that kind of feedback from people as well. But I guess if you're an individual songwriter but not an artist, I would say just, you know, maybe consult a couple of people that you really trust their opinion on. Because if you mm-hmm. get too many, it'll be like too many cooks in the kitchen, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different opinion, and I know that sometimes that's a part of the songwriting process. There's, you know, different organizations that you can submit your song to, and you'll get feedback. And I know you've got, I guess, walk the line between having enough belief in the song and yet being flexible enough to maybe adapt some of that feedback and constructive criticism.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And, you know, there's great organizations that, you know, that do that and give you feedback on the song. But, you know, at the end, you know, when you're playing the song, and, you know, you just, I think you have to trust, like you said, you have to trust the, you know, the direction that you wanted to take it, and, you know, trust mm-hmm. that, you know, that's really what you wanted to say, because there are so many ways to write the same song or the same
right.
title. So, you know, it all depends on your point of view. It really comes down to your point of view and what you want to say.
Mm. Now, Jake, as far as the craft of songwriting goes, you've been writing songs for a long time now, hits of your own, hits of on other people's albums like Gourds and Autumn Hills and a ton of other cuts. What have you learned about songwriting from when you began till now? And I'm sure there's lots of stuff, but maybe if you can pick out even just one thing you could pass on that any new writers out there could benefit from.
Yeah, well, you know what? I had a great experience when I was on my first trip to Nashville. I got to write with Wayne Carson. And Wayne wrote You're Always on My Mind and The Letter. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's a Hall of Fame songwriter. And we were sitting together, and this, like I said, this was one of my first writing experiences in Nashville. And, you know, knowing that I was going to write with Wayne, I was really nervous about writing with him. You know, it was very intimidating. And so we sat down, and the first thing I did, you know, after we kind of got to know each other a little bit, the first thing I did was start telling him, you know, putting out titles and, you know, like just kind of rough ideas, but more titles. And then he kind of stopped me and said, you know, well, I mean, some of those titles are pretty good, but, you know, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? And that's when tell me an experience you had when you were a kid or something, or a memory that really sticks out in your mind. And then I started talking about, you know, for some reason at that moment, started talking about when I had a memory of when my dad was teaching me how to ride my bike. And so I was telling him that. And then we ended up writing a song called You Put Me Together Again, which is like one of my favorite songs. So I think that was, you know, such a pivotal moment, I think, for me as a songwriter, where he just kind of stopped and just said, you know, just let's talk about something real. And I think that's really what it comes down to. You know, you want to, I think, evoke an emotion from whoever's listening to the song. And, you know, just like we talked about with Road in the Radio, you know, it's just a memory that a lot of people have and can relate to. And I think that's what really makes, you know, the great songs, is the ones that make people feel something.
That makes a lot of sense. So if co-writers get together, they can sit and have the same chat you and Wayne had, things that have gone on in their lives, romances, family experiences. And from that, a real idea is going to come out. I love that advice.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it was one of my first experiences in Nashville, and it really, you know, still stands out as, you know, the best, I guess, you know, lesson learned from songwriting with a legendary songwriter. Mm-hmm.
And Nashville for you, Jake, what are some of the either memories or just in general, what does Nashville mean to you as a place for you to make music and to visit and get inspired by?
Well, I mean, it's just such a great community. You know, I've been traveling to Nashville now for, I guess, probably, 15, 16 years or so. And, you know, just over the years, just the writers that you meet and the networking, you know, you just get to meet so many great writers, but also just, you know, great people. And I think it's just a great community to be around. There's nothing, I think, and most writers, you know, most Canadians that travel to Nashville probably say the same thing. There's just an energy in Nashville, and you just, you know, you want to write songs while you're there. You know, it just has that whole energy about Nashville. So, just, you know, it just, as far as what it means to me, it's just a great community to be a part of.
And let's let people in on a few of your influences, let them understand sort of where some of your sound has come from, the artists you've picked it up from or admired. So maybe for a moment, Jake, talk about a couple of those artists that got you excited about music and made you want to pursue it.
Sure. Well, definitely at the top of the list would be George Strait. You know, he was the first concert that I went to when I was 16 years old at the Sudbury Arena, and you know, when I was 14 is when I really started, you know, learning how to play and sing, and that's right when, you know, George would come out with, you know, the Fireman and you know, all his other 50 or 60 odd hits.
Yeah.
You know, just so many hits
him,
but you know, so many. But I mean, that was, I'd have to say, as an artist, you know, that was definitely the biggest influence. And another influence would be, you know, my dad and my brother, just watching them, you know, around the house playing. You know, my dad and my mom would sing together around the house. And of course, I've got, you know, many, many uncles and aunts that were in, you know, that played music, you know, at family reunions. And then watching my brother, you know, seeing him play and sing. And I mean, that, again, had a huge, huge influence on me as well.
The brand new single is called Road and the Radio, which our listeners can request at their local country stations. And the new album is called In Our Own Backyard. And Jake, my timeline here says that it's going to be available this spring.
Yeah, it'll be available soon. We're just, it's, the album is done. It's, everything's finalized. We're just getting ready to pick the release date. So I'll be sharing that here probably in the next week or so. Once we get everything lined up. But it'll be soon. It'll be very, very soon.
Very exciting. And
yeah,
all your past songs are available at iTunes for anybody to go ahead and buy. Of course, your website is jakematthews.com. Jake, thanks so much for being here. It's been a couple of years, and it's so great to catch up and play the new music.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me again. It was a pleasure.
I enjoyed it, and another shout-out to Natalie Harper for setting it up. Thanks so much, Natalie. My guest has been country artist Jake Matthews. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.